Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Hey, this is a banner day for us because we have a very special guest, two guests with us today. Our pastor of our District of Assembly of God Churches, Pastor Ronnie Morris and his wife Diana. Would y'all just make them feel welcome this morning? Thank you guys for being here. In a few moments, Pastor Ronnie's going to come and speak to us, but he's been serving our fellowship, I guess, since May of this past year, doing a fantastic job. And Brother Ronnie, I guess I've known you long enough that I'm not going to mention the number, but I appreciate that you've always been a voice of wisdom, and not just wisdom, spiritual wisdom, that I could call upon. And I haven't worn out your number, I don't think, before you became superintendent. But every time I called, you answer. And for a guy from nowhere, that really meant a lot. And it means a lot that you're serving our fellowship now. You're going to discover that Pastor Ronnie has a great heart for God. He has a great heart for people. But he also has a great heart for the local church. And I appreciate that so much. So would you give Pastor Ronnie a great assembly welcome this morning as he comes to share the word of God with us. Amen. We love you, brother. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Well, I love the atmosphere here. It's awesome. I hope you understand what kind of atmosphere you have. And I just want to say to somebody here already, is it all right if I just speak to you just a moment and let you know that what you just sang, he said it, believe it, and it is done. In fact, for some of you, it's going to happen so quickly. For somebody, it's going to happen so quickly, you're going to be amazed at how quickly it is done. In fact, it's already done. Whew. Wow. Amen. Well, we're great. It's great to be here with your pastors, Greg and Megan. We have known them for quite some time. He and I had a fellow mentor, I guess, and that's kind of how we got to know each other, and have both been blessed. If he could see us now, he would have a few choice words for us, I'm quite sure. But he was a maverick, but a great man of God, and so I'm glad that he brought us together. I have a heart for pastors. My wife and I have been pastoring for 40 years before coming to this office. Now, I know I don't look that old, so thank you very much. I'm a pastor. I still am a pastor. The people in the office ask me, well, what do we call you? Because, you know, they want a title of some sort. I don't want somebody calling me superintendent. I said, you know, the best thing you could, if you want to call me something out of respect, you can call me pastor. Because I was called to pastor as a teenager. I wasn't raised in a pastor's home, but it's called as a teenager. I know what my calling is, and I'm going to continue to do that. As I've gone around this district, I stopped in nine places. I had a listening tour, stopped in nine places. And what I challenged them, the pastors, and I met with the pastors, to really encourage them is to, we will not have healthy churches without healthy pastors. Hear me. I'm thankful for, thank you for honoring the military today and the veterans as we get ready to celebrate Veterans Day, because they are really the true heroes. I tell them when I was, I served in the Air Force, I said, I went across the big pond, the Mississippi River. And I served in the military, man, my hat goes off to you who were in the trenches, the tough spots. But I do want to tell you, I think that there's one group of people that sometimes is overlooked, and that is the pastors. I'm grateful for military. I'm grateful for the healthcare workers. I'm grateful for law enforcement. My son has been in law enforcement. And so I'm grateful for all of those, but let's not forget the people who usually are by their side somewhere or another. I could tell you war stories myself today. I'm still in therapy, but I'm gonna be better. But I've had a lot. I've seen a lot of things. I've heard a lot of things. I've helped people through things that later on decided to ghost me. What that means is they pour all their troubles out on you, don't want to do anything about it, and then they leave you. And then they talk about you behind your back. And then you have faithful people to talk to you. I'm grateful for this man of God. You are blessed. Amen. Not only to have him, but have his wife lead you in wonderful worship. And whatever you can do for them to make sure they remain healthy is not too much. Because the Bible says you take care of a servant and you'll get a double portion of that servant's reward. I'm liking this. See, I can say that because I'm not pastoring, but I can say it about them. And I believe they're worthy of that. They've done an amazing job here in 4 years. I can look at you. I can be in this moment and believe that God has used them greatly. And $2,000 you've raised this month. Amazing. And so I commend you on your giving. The one thing the Lord really is moved by, listen to me, is giving. I've dealt with some issues already in churches about some trouble in these areas. And I began to look at the scripture and I found out, boy, the Lord is not too happy when we don't take care of His funds. Because, listen, He didn't tell me to say all this. I don't have a script. Because when you, listen, all of it's the Lord's anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Am I preaching all right now? I really hadn't. So don't count my time yet. I haven't started preaching yet. I do have a word from the Lord. In fact, this is really goes against, I guess, what I normally do, but this is it. But I have a word from the Lord for you. I want to say to this worship team, you spelled out everything that I want to say, confirmed it, from shouting to coming out of the valley to saying it, believing it, and it's done. Everything that I need to say has already been said. I want to say to one of the worship leaders, I'm not going to point you out at this point. I don't know what you're going through at this moment or what you're about to go through. But remember today and remember these songs. Take these songs out, go back over them, practice them, because it's going to be more than what you're singing on the stage, because you're about to enter into a moment that you're going to need them, but you're going to watch God do what He said He would do. Glory to God. I could bring you up and call you out, but I'm not going to do that at this moment, all right? Because I want to talk about 2 Chronicles chapter 20 for just a few moments. Just a few moments of time. This has to be one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible. Now, if I preach from another story in the Old Testament, I'll say that as well. Because I love the Bible. I love the Word. In this portion of Scripture, He says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's battle. He will fight for you. And there's a secret. There's the secret. We see in 2 Chronicles 20, and I just want to go quickly over this story. We see that Judah, because 2 Chronicles deals with Judah and Benjamin mostly, and the kings. Jehoshaphat is the king who is reigning at this point. He was a great king. He loved God, but sometimes he involved himself with others he shouldn't have been involved with. Come on. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so he got involved, but there was a group, actually an alliance of three armies that came together to come against Judah. And I tell you, the enemy don't like you. He hates your guts, if I could be so plain, because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are more than conquerors through him who loved you and gave himself for you. I've come to give you a word of victory this morning. I've come to tell you that Jesus has already taken care of your battle, and you can just rejoice in the fact that you are more than a conqueror this morning through him who loved him and gave himself for you. But Jehoshaphat's in a difficult moment. It's easy to rejoice in the Lord right now because, man, everything is good. I'm loving the atmosphere. I won't have to think about it till I get out of here. But there's some real, the realities of warfare, spiritual warfare is upon us. And we know that there are a lot of things coming at us from just the world itself, from finances to relationships to sicknesses to all, for the strongholds of the enemy. They're coming at us. We know that it is, but we're not going to play the victim this morning. There's too many people playing the victim mentality. We're not victims. We are victors. I got to tell somebody in this place, remember the Lord said that you shall always triumph through him. He calls you to come into a place of constant victory. Can I get a witness this morning? Jehoshaphat is in a dilemma, and he knows it, and there's armies coming at him. But I believe that there are secrets this morning to being victorious. There are steps that we need to take in order to be victorious. We are in a war of biblical proportions. We must understand that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I mean, we want to take it out on that person that's taking it out on us, but we have to look through that if you're a child of God, that you are not fighting flesh and blood. There are principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and therein lies who we are in a battle with. There is warfare, and sometimes we don't understand this aspect. We wonder why all this stuff happening to us, because the devil is wanting to sabotage what God's purpose is for your life, and he's got a great purpose for you. And the reason he's so at you is because he knows that you're getting closer, and the darker it gets, the more difficult it gets, means you're just getting that much closer to your divine destiny. It's what I heard this morning. Hallelujah. It's war. You must understand it is war. But in that process, when we know the enemy is coming in like a flood, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise a standard against him. And it is time right now to seek the Lord. Diane and I were just in a conference. It's called the ELC. It's where all of the leadership, in fact, there were, I think, over 50 district superintendents, secretaries, and assistant superintendents from all over. They're the movers and the shakers of this assembly of God. And I can tell you without reservation, this is one of the most amazing moments in the presence of God. I'm talking about worship and prophetic words going forth and prayer. It was amazing. It's going to begin at the leadership. It's going to begin with point people. It's going to begin with a pastor. It's going to begin with your leadership in this church. But I can tell you, I am so encouraged about where we are at this moment. People say, well, boy, we've been through it, haven't we? But I just have to know that what we've been through, the devil, he played his best hand, he thought. But I can tell you, he'd have made a fatal mistake for sure, because he said, I'll get the church. I'll keep them at home. I'll get them separated. I'll get them divided. But what he did not know is the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, if you believe the Bible, we are a Pentecostal church, not by a name, but by an experience with the Holy Spirit. And if we believe that, he said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. he said in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And so we have to say, well, God, you must not be through with us. I don't believe the church is going out in a puff of smoke. I believe the church is going out in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. Woo! I want to tell you this morning, it's important to shout. It's important to shout. I mean, every song, I think, maybe but the last one, I'm not sure, but I think every song encouraged us to shout. That's what this whole Second Chronicles is about. Shout, even before, I'm going to get back to the worship team because of what you're about to, what either you're in or what you're about to go, but what you need to do is stand, and I mean in the middle of it all, and you need to shout a shout of victory. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of victory, because it is done. It's time to seek the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It's time to seek the Lord. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat, and I'm not going to take the time to try to read all of this to you, but you need to go home this afternoon. You need to saturate yourself, because this is a critical moment for Cabot Assembly of God. Because the devil don't like what's going on up in this place. I love what's going on in this place. I mean, I could be in this atmosphere. I could enjoy this atmosphere. If I wasn't preaching every Sunday, I would make myself over here. Come on. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? You are one blessed people. But I can tell you, there's something happening in Central Arkansas. There's a tide that's rising up. There's a swell of revival that's about to break loose in this Central Arkansas, and you're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. And don't doubt me, because people will run over you to get in this place. When they find out what God is going to do and what God is doing right now, I got to get on with this thing. It's time to seek the Lord. What you're going to find out about what Jehoshaphat led them in, and what your pastor is leading you in, what your leadership is leading you in. Obviously, they're leading you in to the presence of the Lord. One of the things I memorized this year was Psalms 100. What I love about that, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Come on, serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on, come before His presence with singing. For the Lord, He is God, it is He who's made us, and not we ourselves. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. That's what God has called us to do. The protocol to coming before the monarch, the protocol before coming to before the Lord, is to worship Him. This is not just some fad that's going through. Oh, I got to tell somebody something this morning. This is not a fad. This is not just some new thing. This is the prophetic word out of the book of Acts chapter 15, that He's about to raise up the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David is not something over in Jerusalem. The tabernacle of David is being raised up right now at this moment, because what you're seeing is a surge of worship. And it's not just testimonials, but it is praise, which is directed vertically to God. Hallelujah. It's a love language between His church and our God, and it opens up the windows of heaven to pour out the blessings of the Lord. Woo! I'm feeling it up in here. You got to praise God. When you look at this portion of Scripture, you will find that He leads them in praising God for who He is. He says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel? You see what he's doing? He is leading his people in praising him for who he is. That's what we have to do. And for the history, I can go back, and that's what I do. I go back through the Word of God, and I just recount, Lord, this is what you did. If you did it for them, you led the children of Israel when there was no way. You led them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. There is nothing too difficult for you. And if you did it for them, you'll do it for us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. Glory to God. I'm about to preach myself happy right now. Yeah. This is no makeup here. I really believe I have a word from the Lord. I tell you, I'm moved by that. I don't just come to preach just a little sermon to you, a little sermonette for Christianettes. I've come to declare the word of the Lord. Praise God for who he is. Because when you praise God for who he is, that's what he'll become in your life. If you need healing this morning, you praise God that he is the healer. If you need deliverance, you need to say, God, you're our banner. You'll be lifted up. You're going to bring deliverance to me. If you need provision, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. When you praise him for who he is, right now they needed somebody to go before them, and they began to praise him for who he was. He is the victor. He said, what you've done, what you promised, you have, when you won the battles before, you see what he was needing? They were needing victory in battle. So what did he do? He began to praise God for the victories that had been won before, because he wanted to bring into reality. Oh, he wanted to bring into reality to his moment. And somebody in here needs to bring into reality of this moment in the battle that you're going through. But just remind the Lord. Say, Lord, you did that, and you'll do it for me as well. Glory to God. Woo! When you understand that you're heirs of God and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, one of the things I prayed yesterday, and I pray this prayer, Our Father, right there. You say, Our Father. I began to say, oh, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we could be called the children of God. I realize that you realize that I'm an heir of God and I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ, that I am a favored son of the Lord because I'm a child of Abraham. And God said through Abraham's seed, which is singular, his seed is Jesus Christ. And through Abraham's seed, I am blessed with the promises of God because I have accepted him as Savior and Lord. Watch this. John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the privilege, the authority to be the children of God. Do we have any children of God in this place this morning? Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hey, I'm a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir of Jesus Christ, man. And so in this prayer, he said, remember the promise to Abraham. And the promise to Abraham is that I'm going to send you a son who is going to reconcile us to God. And we're going to be the children of the Most High God. Glory. And then we're going to praise him. We're going to pray the word. I don't know anything else to do. I recently wrote a book. And in that book, I wrote a chapter on praying the Word. You need to pray the Word of God because that's the will of God. It's the will of God. So if you want God to bring things into your life, then you need to pray His will. Well, the Lord just touched Sally and Susie and Judy. No, why do you want Sally, Susie, and Judy prayed for? Because Sally, Susie, and Judy, one, may need salvation. So you pray, Lord, you said you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God, right? And so we read here in verses 8 and 9, watch this right here. He said, and they that dwell have built you a sanctuary in your name. If disaster comes, now what you have to know is that, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles 6, maybe through 8. What you have to know is the prayer that he is praying here is what God instructed Solomon to instruct his people about praying. If there is sin, now watch this, I got to say something very specific to somebody, because I read this earlier this week. In fact, my reading this morning was 2 Chronicles 20. That's no joke. But early this week, I read about the prayer that Solomon prayed. And as I read it, he said, if we come in disaster, if there's disaster, if there's disease, if there is the devil, whatever it is, if you will face the sanctuary, wherever you are in the world, if you'll face the sanctuary, basically, watch this, and repent. Because it all results in sin. Come on. So here's what I want to say to somebody here. Now, I don't know. You're going through something at this moment. And yet, it's one of two things. There's actual sin in your life that you need to repent of. Or you've allowed the devil to make you believe that you're not worthy because of the past sins of your life. Either way, if we need God to move in on us and bring us what we need, forgiveness of sin, deliverance from the devil, healing for our diseases, it's all there. I don't have time to go into it. But whatever you need this morning, if you'll simply repent. Now, what does repent mean? It means I'm going this direction and I'm going to turn around and go this direction. Right? That's all repentance means. It's simply just to turn around. And if I'm going in this direction and I'm not doing right and my attitude's not right and there's sin in my life, then I just need to repent and turn around and go the opposite way. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I'm going this way and I'm always thinking negatively about myself because of past things that I've done, I got to tell somebody that God does not even remember what has happened in the past. He has buried those things in the sea of forgetfulness and put up a no fishing sign. Glory. Pray the word. Pray the word. I hope that I really believe you're here, because actually the whole sermon is around that word right there. In one sense, as specifically for somebody in this place, the Lord's about to deliver you from that mess that the devil has put in your mind. Verse 12 says this, Lord, we don't know what to do. Boy, how many times I've prayed this. Very recently. They tell me that I'm the superintendent for 375 churches and about 1,200 ministers. God help me. Lord, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's the word that Jehoshaphat came to. I don't know what to do, Lord. I am messed up. This is a reality. All this stuff that we've been going through is a reality to divide us and to try to conquer us. But the devil's not going to win. Mm-mm. The devil's not going to win. So he said, our eyes are on you. And so we're going to wait. We're going to look to you. Listen, we are not powerless, but we're focused. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and he will be found of you. He rewards those who diligently seek him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails us. When we focus on the Lord, you can rest assured he's going to come. And so what we see in the next verse is that there is something that happens, a prophetic word. Pastor, I believe this. I'm seeing it basically everywhere I go. Prophecy, prophetic words. Now listen, let me explain to you what a prophetic word is, not a pathetic word. In our churches, what we're going to see is a rise of prophecy. The Bible says desire to prophesy. I'm not talking about every nut, fruit, and flake. But if you don't have some of them, then you're probably not in the real. Oh, it got awful quiet in here. I see you've been around them too. But I'm not going to let them distract me from the true word of the Lord. Because we need to hear a prophetic word. And I'm thankful for preaching. But preaching must come forth. As the pastor and I were talking a little earlier. And sometimes I hear myself and I'm saying, where did that come from? And I joked and I said, man, I need to start taking notes on myself. Because don't take that as braggadocious. I'm just saying, I couldn't have come up with something like that. It only has to be the Lord that gives us true wisdom from Him and a sense. And so what we see here this morning, I believe there's going to be a rise of the prophetic. Not just somebody, can you give me a word from the Lord? Hey, if He got a word for you, He's going to give it to you. He's going to get it to you. And that's what I hope you sense. But there's a guy, he rises up in the midst. His name is Jehaziel. And I always like to look up these names because names are important, right? In the Bible they are. And Jehaziel means beheld of God. And as you're seeking Him, let me tell you something. He's seeking you. When the seeker becomes the sought, that's when you know you're at it. And He is seeking you out. And Jehaziel comes to the forefront. And he begins to say, he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. Man, you just get through those words. You're blessed. But watch this. A Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the... Oh, what? Oh. What does that say? In the midst of what? What? What's the name of this church? Woo, you think you're in a dimension now? You're about to hit another dimension. I had a 62 Chevrolet, candy apple red, blue tinted windshields, chrome reverse wheels on it. It was sweet. It was my first car. I bought it for $500. But there was something amazing about this car. It had three gears on the stick shift. Now, some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. All right? All right? Not automatic drive. But they had a little secret button down here that when I got it in third gear and I'm out on the highway and I wanted to supercharge it, I pulled out the overdrive. Now, this is pretty good. You're cruising, but you're about to go to another level. I didn't see that before right now, Pastor. But notice this, and this is really where God spoke to me this morning. A Levite, a descendant of Asaph. Do you know who that is? Asaph wrote some of the Psalms. Whew. Are you writing some songs? Megan, have you been writing some songs? It's going to be restored. It's going to be restored. God's going to give you. I'm so excited about this church. Here's what he says. Do not be afraid. He don't be afraid. The battle is the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen, you got war. Be a worshiper. Watch, and you shall win. There it is. Four W's. But I'm going to add a fifth. Wealth is coming on the end of that. Let me give it to you one more time. There's going to be war, but you're going to win. You're going to be a worshiper. You're going to watch, because you're not going to have to, listen, you're not going to have to do anything but just be obedient to the Lord and watch and see what God does. If you think He's done great things to this point, you watch and see what He does. Watch, and then you shall win. Now watch this. I'm going to close this thing. I'm going to try to close this thing down. In fact, just go ahead and stand with me and we'll play like we're finishing. There's so much here. So what happens? What happens? Well, the Bible says that Jehaziel and Jehoshaphat say, okay, here's the way we're going to win this thing. Crazy. Just crazy. God's going to do unbelievable things. And you're going to think, that's a crazy idea. So what does he say? I want to put the choir out in front of the army. What? Are you kidding me? And all you sing, it was the top 100 song, number one song. Praise you, the Lord, His mercy endures forever. That's all it was. And you think we sing a refrain over and over again? Listen, that's not anything new. Listen, we've done that for years as Pentecostals. For years. And that's all they did. It confused the enemy so bad they started turning on themselves. They kill everybody out. They didn't lift a finger because the battle's the Lord's. Amen. They didn't lift a finger. The battle is the Lord's. Now watch this. Now the reason I put the wealth in here. You've been so concerned. I want to talk to somebody specifically here. Are you getting this? Some of you have been so concerned about your wealth, about the economy. We're not operating in the world's economy. We're in God's economy. And if you'll be faithful with your tithes and offerings, listen to me, I'm telling you, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Notice what happened. Wiped out those three armies. What did Israel do? They went out there and they took their stuff. They got their wealth. Read it. It's all there. And this morning, God's going to give you enough. You say, what is success? Having enough to do the will of God. Just having enough to do the will. Not having more than enough. Well, God always, you know, God always has more than enough and He always has stuff left over. Isn't that cool? Here's what I want to do. There's winners in this house. Some of you are going to get a windfall. Anybody like to have a windfall? Anybody needs a windfall? Now, what I'd like to have is, could I pray for you this morning? Could I pray for you? If you felt like at any point when I said, and I believe it's prophetic, because I didn't have it all written down, but he said, you just raise your hand and said, I believe the Lord spoke to me while you were saying specific things. Just raise your hand. Yeah. Keep it raised up. I believe the Lord. Yeah. I'm looking for you. I still want you to keep your hand up because I'm looking for you. I'm trying to get. I'm going to pray. Because you have to receive it. You have to pray it. Listen, just because, I want to tell you for something very specific. Just because you got the promise, prophetic word, you got to pray it in. You got to praise it in. And you got to pray the word on that. But I want you to share that with somebody. Share it with your pastor. Share it with your neighbor. Now, last thing I want to do before I pray, maybe you slipped in here this morning and you don't realize that you can be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, that's really what this is all about, because you can't enjoy all this other stuff until you know Him. But if you slipped in here this morning, you say, you know, I'm not right with God, and I want to get right with Him, or I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. You just raise your hand. Listen, don't be ashamed. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to call you out. You say, I just need the Lord, because I wouldn't be doing my duty this morning if I didn't give up a call for somebody to get right with God. Jesus is your answer, friend. I say that unashamedly, not because I'm paid for it. I have seen Him do it in my life. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for today. God, You have done amazing things among us. Thank You for this church. Thank You for the pastor. Thank You for Megan and, Lord, the leadership here. Lord, You have spoken Your word today. I know that. I'm confident of that. If I've ever been confident, I know that You have spoken Your word. And Lord, as they sing about seeing themselves out of the valley, what I want to say today, Lord, is that valley of Baraka that they were in, it's going into it, receive the spoils and get the wealth. Lord, I pray and I believe that You're going to bring blessing. God, I believe, God, for supernatural blessings and finances over this church. They're going to be amazed at what You do. In the coming months, they're going to be amazed at what You do because of the faithfulness of Your people. Bless them and keep them. Make Your face to shine on them. May they go with grace, and may You turn Your face in their direction and give them peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Shout unto God.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.